Who wants, I tell you, who wants a pot of coffee? I just made coffee. You want a cup of coffee? Sure, there you go. Who wants coffee? Anybody else want coffee? Who wants coffee?
And now, it's time for the man with the caffeine, the new tropics for the brain. It's Coffee with Mike. Hang in, hang tight, grab your cup, and let's get this thing started.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's Coffee with Mike here at Java Chat, and I get the distinct and excited pleasure to speak to somebody who is in an industry that I actually was a part of years ago. He's built a super successful platform around voiceover work. This is David Cicerelli of Voices.com. David, thanks for coming and hanging out with us on Java Chat.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Mike. And I've got my Java, my coffee here, and cheers to you.
Cheers, absolutely. To your health, even though I'm drinking it, right? Let me read you guys a little bit about Dave, and then I'm going to have him talk a little bit more about his story. He's an entrepreneur at heart. I mean, for the last decade, he's been, with the help of his team, he's been growing voices.com. If you guys haven't seen it, go take a look. It's pretty cool. From the ground up. So this was a fresh start kind of deal. I became the leader in the voice industry. That's a story we're going to get into. He is the CEO. He's responsible for setting the vision, executing the growth strategy, creating a vibrant culture, and managing the company on a day-to-day. He's frequently published in outlets like The Globe and Mail, Forbes, and The Wall Street Journal. Awesome. So are you formerly or presently a voiceover talent, or are you an entrepreneur that saw an opportunity? How did that come about?
Well, my background is actually in audio engineering, Mike. Quick founding story. You know, I grew up always being fascinated with sound and music. I played piano and drums.
Sweet.
When it came time, are you a musician yourself?
Anything string that's strummed or plucked. I can't do the strikes though with a piano. I wish I could.
So like you, maybe that's, there's a lot of similarities in our background. And in playing the music, you know, obviously wanted a part of bands. And when it came time to pursuing a career path after high school,
right?
I tried to find, you know, an industry or an opportunity that was the confluence, you know, the Venn diagram of like art, science, and technology. And what I found was actually audio engineering. So I went to school to become an audio engineer. You know, the guy or gal on the other side of the glass that is often running a big mixing console.
The big old board with sliders and buttons that nobody knows how to work.
Oh yeah, exactly. And it, you know, it's, I sometimes joke, it's like, you know, being on the bridge of the Starship Enterprise.
Exactly.
All of these
controls.
Don't disappear on us. And so, you know, I remember, you know, when I graduated from that program, I had the opportunity again to, you know, either, you know, one of the options was like, you know, go work and do live sound on a cruise ship, work in another recording studio. I actually wanted to start my own. Yeah. And I wrote out a business plan, took out a small loan, I think of $15,000, got enough equipment to have a small project studio. I actually got my name in the local newspaper.
Nice.
On my birthday.
And what? That's cool.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah, I was thrilled about that. And it's actually how I met Stephanie. So Stephanie's now my wife, and she's the co-founder of voices.com. Back then she was a classically trained singer. She sang at weddings and funerals and special events. And she actually came into the studio to record her singing repertoire.
Nice.
And because of that same, you know, we ended up doing that work, but because of that same article, there were other small businesses in town that wanted a female voice. So I knew.
So let me ask a question. Was it love at first sound?
Yeah, well, love at first sound. Yeah, it was, you know, I actually sometimes jokingly say I married my first customer, which is not marital advice whatsoever. Hard enough, you know, being,
well,
and
especially if
married,
you're in the funeral industry, you don't want to be marrying.
or even, you know, hard enough also running a company and doing both at the same time.
For sure.
I think pretty challenging, you know, but we really do love it. But we ended up doing recording voiceovers with Stephanie as the voice talent, myself as the engineer. So that's kind of how it all began.
Mm-hmm.
We put up a really brutal website. It was like a brochure style website, enough just to kind of
just to get the word out there. Yeah.
Broader world.
Something. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you gotta get something. You hack it
together.
We actually took a web design for dummies from a local library and put together our own website. This is, you know, again, as you said, going back 10 years. before there was
Things like Elementor and WordPress. Yeah, it was pretty rough.
Yeah. It's rough. Awesome nowadays. A lot of plug and play tools for aspiring marketers or entrepreneurs. Yeah. But you know, and that site actually, Mike, attracted other freelance talent from all around North America that discovered it through Google and said, hey, can I, you know, I see you have one female voice. I speak French, I speak German, I do character voices, you know, I'm really good at audiobooks. You know, can I be on your website? And so we always just said yes. And it was really just a directory at the beginning.
Sure.
But at the same time, clients from ad agencies and video producers actually started asking, how do we get in touch with these people? And so that was the...
there were no real resources back then. 10 years ago, there wasn't anything like a voices.com or stuff. That, I don't remember. Even if I was to look to do something, I had to set up my own website and I had to go make phone calls, which is one of the reasons why I didn't do it, because I just didn't have the time. But yeah. I mean, there was nothing. And by the way, I signed up.
Oh yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Just because, you know, I wanted to see the process. I wanted to see the platform's easy. It's very user-friendly. It's not, I mean, I haven't gotten that deep into it, but I'm going back, because for voiceover talents, they don't want to have all of the responsibility of what you built. Not that I've seen. I mean, there's very few guys, unless they're like super, like they have their own thing. There's a lot of talent out there that just, they have nowhere to go. This is really cool what you guys have built. So you had that, you got that success. What started the voicesover.com, or did it just evolve into this?
Yeah, I think there was a few inflection points. One, we actually started under a different name. It was Interactive Voices, so not the best name, but it was the best we could get at the time.
Sure.
We acquired the name voices.com, which was a huge catalyst. We had about 10,000 registered users on the platform at the time. And in doing so, it really catapulted, I think, the company and turning into a brand that someone's like, you know, people were like, oh, that sounds like it's the place to go to find great talent. And likewise, talent wanted to be create a profile and kind of market themselves on the platform. I think that was a really big turning point as well. But you know, Mike, with these, there's a number of what I would call platform businesses, right? They're two-sided marketplace.
Yeah.
Where you have on one hand the suppliers, mm-hmm. right, or service providers like the voice talent. It could be, you know, there's other ones out there that are either for freelance services or what we refer to as like the gig economy. Maybe it's driver or a host at Airbnb. Sure. So that's your supplier service. And then you have the buy side or the demand, people who want those services. And when you get these things going, it spurs on what are referred to as network effects. Basically, every additional person that joins kind of adds incremental value to all the other people.
Sure.
And you know, while it started small, I would say in the last really couple of years, it's really accelerated the growth, because this just kind of becomes this flywheel that you know, in some ways is somewhat unstoppable. So we're just trying to keep up that momentum.
Do you ever think you were going to be an entrepreneur in all of this?
I did, actually.
Okay,
It's kind of growing up, I traded sports cards.
Oh, familiar story. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, being in a band, I was, you know, trying to book the gigs and line up the next gig.
Oh, we know that one. Oh,
yeah. Woohoo. If you're a musician, you know, it's a tough responsibility. God. And then finally, you know, and I guess another, you know, always prompting mom and dad to have garage sales, or I sold pop out of my locker in high school. Like, it just ways to be creative on how to, you know, be entrepreneurial, I suppose.
Sure. So how did voiceover become like what it is? I mean, it just seems kind of obscure to some people, because I know people, I've actually encouraged numerous friends of mine. I said, you should go into voiceover work. Their voices are killer. Mm-hmm. And they don't even understand what it is. They don't get the lifestyle. They don't understand what is involved. Can you kind of talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, a voice actor it's really acting, but without the benefit of being on camera.
Right.
So if you're an actor or can do improv or these kind of, you know, get into character, it's, you know, that's the first thing. And as you said, because it's voice acting, you do need, you know, the God-given gift of a great voice. So that's kind of like number one. And it doesn't come with all the fame and glamour, though, because you're not seen.
Right.
People hear your voice. There's not really that association. You're often working from home or remotely. And you actually need these other skills that are often underestimated. I'm going to say next up would be the technology. Just like we're recording here today.
Yeah.
Voice actors who work from home have a small home studio that's set up that often in a spare bedroom or a closet, an isolation booth. Sometimes they're called whisper rooms or studio brick, I think is another one of these kind of small isolation booths. But you need to know how to record and edit yourself.
Yeah.
Because you're doing auditions, trying to, you know, again, getting that next gig, you're doing a lot of auditions to ultimately land the job. And then again, got to record that. So I think the technical skills are important. And then the third leg of the stool, Mike, is actually the marketing skills.
Yeah.
How do I go out and get jobs? Do I, even if I participate on a platform like voices.com, there's a number of them out there. How do I communicate with clients? What do I charge? How do I handle contracts?
You guys have that in your help files, right? I mean, your tech support. I think I saw something about that.
Yep. Yeah. So we've tried to take, I think what I would, you know, as a very opaque and unnecessarily complicated industry, frankly, which is really, you know, reading a script, breathing it to life, delivering a great performance, and the actual deliverable is really often a WAV file or an MP3. It's an audio file.
Yep.
But the payment, the negotiation, that's often where classically a talent agent would provide a lot of support there. But getting a talent agent nowadays, I mean, unless you live in New York or Chicago or LA, and you're coming with a book of clients that are already actively working with you, agents are, you know, probably pretty difficult to just kind of go from zero all the way to landing a national talent agent.
Yeah.
So in which case, a lot of people start out marketing themselves. And that might mean building your own website, blogging, speaking at events, engaging with other video producers, maybe on LinkedIn groups or Facebook groups. So, you know, there's this element of, dare I say, self-promotion that needs to be done.
Yeah.
In order to build your own client base.
Yeah, if you're not going to get out there and actually put your talent out for people to see, and like, I know a couple guys that are out on social that do real well that are voice actors. There's a guy even on TikTok. His name is Epic Voice Guy. I don't know if you know who he is.
No, I'll have to look him up.
Yeah, he's the guy that does In a World. He does that. He does a lot, and he literally does for fun. He goes out with a little mini setup. And he walks behind people in public places, and he does that as a joke. He just kind of plays it out. it's awesome though. And he does a ton of voices. He can do Optimus Prime. He can do all that kind of stuff, which is cool to me. I'm like, I admire that. One, it's his life and his profession. Mm-hmm. And you can see his passion in that profession, which brings another question. When it comes to passion, and you're looking at what you're doing now, how deep for you has this run? I mean, as an entrepreneur, we have a tendency to solve a problem and look for an exit strategy and leave. You haven't done that. You're still there. So how does that work? I mean,
I think it comes and it all begins with passion. And passion is actually, I'm going to say, the manifestation of probably your entire life story, right? There's usually some thread that weaves all through it that, you know, musical family, musical background. I like technology. You know, my dad had the first computer, like laptop that anybody'd seen, first mobile phone any of my friends had seen. So kind of this early exposure to techno. So you start to kind of realize, wow, I'm on a path. And I was given some great advice once, which was to follow the flags.
Nice.
You look at these like milestones or markers in your life. There's usually, you know, you plant a flag and you graduate, or maybe you won an award, or you achieve something, or you go to a certain event or conference, and it kind of marks your life. And if you actually kind of were to look back and then look forward and extrapolate out, just follow the same path that all that's been on. And it's probably where you're excited, where you lose all track of time because you've thrown yourself into something. That's what I think kind of passion is. And that's Voices for me. I enjoy the building of the platform, the engaging with all of the customers, our staff. And so the vision really would be to actually not only just transforming this industry, but I think growing up and even now, I think there's something special about the human voice in its power and ability to inform and entertain and inspire audiences. I listen to a lot of books on tape and audiobooks. And so at Voices, you know, we really exist to make, you know, the world a better place, more accessible place through the power of the human voice. And that's like one of those, you know, never quite achieved, right? And so as you kind of, you're on that path, almost like walking towards the sunset, you know, the rotation of the earth kind of makes sure that you never quite reach the sunset, but you see it there and you're going to keep going in that direction. So
man, there's always sunrise tomorrow too. So you can,
that's true as well too. So I truthfully, I can't imagine doing anything else. I don't have I think there's a lot to be accomplished. I think we have a bigger expanded vision of kind of what's next and that next chapter for Voices. And so I want to see it come to fruition.
So when you're looking at developing like your product development, I mean, you are in a unique platform. The two-sided marketplace is definitely something that's not too common. The only other places I can think of that are like that personally are Upwork and Fiverr.
Yep.
And there's a bunch of guys on there too that do voiceover work on Fiverr. In fact, I before I heard Voices, I actually hired a young lady out of Tennessee through Fiverr. And I'm not trying to promote them, guys. I'm just letting you know what this is.
Oh yeah. And that's what I was referring to. There's a number of platforms that are,
I just didn't want anybody thinking I was promoting them on, you know.
Oh yeah, no worries. I mean, listen, they're freelancer platforms, right? And voice acting is kind of one category of that. We've chosen to go really deep in this one area.
Yeah, no, and it's I'm liking what I'm seeing. But I was able to hire a young lady and we had a conversation before we did anything. I talked to her about what our brand was, what we were doing with Java Chat, et cetera, which you'll see you can see on YouTube or hear on Java Chat podcast how she voiced it out. And she did an amazing job. She's a musician up in, I want to say Memphis, and she's doing this on the side. So it's interesting that the vision that you have has been moving Voices into a much, how do I say this? A broader coverage of the actual voice acting industry from what I'm seeing. And I'm curious about how, you know, when it comes to product development, how that's been driving that, where it's been taking you guys and what do you foresee coming up both with your efforts and what's naturally happening in the marketplace?
Yeah. I mean, the best place to start when it comes to product development is on this kind of discovery phase, right? I mean,
yeah.
And by discovering, that could mean conducting interviews, generally speaking, being very observant, you know, eyes and ears open all the time, whether you're reading the news, scanning through a feed, seeing how other companies, what are they building? How, you know, does that have a voice element? And so there's like these mega trends, but then you kind of try to validate that by conversations. And that's a great way to start a business if you don't have one already up and running.
Right.
But it's also a great way to build off of, you know, the foundation that you have. So there's, you know, there's the, let's call it the qualitative aspects of it, these anecdotes that you hear. And then there's the quantitative, which is if you have any, if you know, data at all of maybe activity on a website, you know, search queries, what are people searching for?
Right.
This is all very helpful. That kind of starts to set in motion. So we've seen some really interesting trends. First one is, you know, if you remember a couple of years ago, Amazon launched the Alexa kind of smart home. They did this over Black Friday, Cyber Monday. These practically gave these things away for like $19 or so.
Yeah.
There's 100 million of these devices installed in people's homes. So, you know, dare I ask, Mike, do you have one of these, maybe a Google Home?
Home Hub. Yeah.
Okay. So, there's over 100 million of these devices. So now the question becomes, you know, what's actually happening there, right? I mean, there's content that could be put on there. sometimes there's these what are called voice apps, just like we have a mobile app. There's these voice apps. So that's all being built out. So that's, you know, definitely a trend. So what we did at voices.com was we realized there's a category of work here called voice assistant. And, you know, it's, it might be on a phone, a voice assistant there, might be for a kiosk, or it might be for one of these smart home speakers. So those are the kind of things like we try to see what are other companies doing and launching, but also we actually found that there was requests coming in for this kind of work. It was just a little bit uncategorized, but we wanted to build out some guides, some landing pages, some tutorials, and, you know, send some email to customers that we thought might be working on these type of projects. So, you know, following that kind of scent of like, I smell something here, like, and then kind of, I think you used the term like the rabbit hole a little bit earlier, right? It's like,
it's definitely a rabbit hole.
You follow that until to the point you're like, okay, as I say, you need to, after the discovery, you're designing something and maybe validating that, then you actually develop it. And then finally you're deploying it. And that we refer to that as the D process, the 4D process, of which can be very applicable to any product or service that you as an entrepreneur might want to build an offer to potential customers.
Cool. We're going to take a short break, do a quick message. We're going to come back and we're going to talk some more with David Cicirelli. We'll talk a little bit more about the voice acting side and people that might be considering getting into it and some of the things that they're going to face. That you obviously know way more than I do, but I've run into myself as well. So take a short break. We'll be right back. All right. We're back here with Java Chat and David Cicirelli of voices.com. We were kind of chatting a little bit about product development and how an entrepreneur, and you know what, actually that strategy will apply to just about anything that you do. He's right. Surveying first, figuring out what the market is doing, staying ahead of the trend if possible, if not, going and digging quick so you can figure out how to be a part of the trend and expand it under your own platform, under your brand. What I wanted to talk about here in this little bit is this two-sided platform. We have clients, we have talent. And I know there's a lot of people, we were just kind of talking about it earlier. There's a lot of people that are thinking about doing something like this, but they're really not clear as to how or what to do to begin. And so I kind of wanted to, from your experience, if somebody's thinking about becoming a voice talent, and I would think this would apply to podcasts or whatever, because it's all audio, no matter how you look at it. If somebody's looking to get into this particular realm, what are some of the things they should consider? What are some of the challenges they could most likely face? And what's it cost to set something up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So the considerations, I mean, I would really advocate to viewing it not as a passive side hustle. And maybe this is more me just kind of projecting, like, throw yourself into it. If you're going to do it, then really go all the way. Because there's so many other people who are taking it very seriously and making a career and a living doing voiceovers.
Yeah, they're making a good living on that too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, you know, that would be my first kind of recommendation. It's probably more of like a mindset of like, okay, make the commitment, right? And then that's going to, you know, start to like, okay, well then like tactically, what do I need to do?
Yeah.
Often that means working with a voice coach. There's lots of coaches out there. I mean, you know, if anyone's kind of like, you know, me or a lot of people I know, it's like when you throw something yourself into a topic, you just absorb all the information.
Right.
You look for a coach or a mentor.
Yep.
You read every book imaginable. You listen to all the podcasts, watch all the videos, just soak it all up. There's a number of great coaches that, I mean, we feature on voices.com. They're all independent. Voices.com/coaches is like a directory. And there's coaches who specialize in certain areas. Maybe it's just character voices. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's accent reduction. Sometimes it's, you know, kind of bringing out what's sometimes referred to as your like money voice or your X voice, like kind of what you're known for the most.
See, I've never heard those terms before.
Yeah.
That's news to me too.
There's usually a reason one style of voice that you get hired for all the time, but you might not realize that until someone can kind of draw it out or you realize that this is where you're most comfortable.
Uh-huh.
So I would say a coach, and I mean, even acting classes. There's a lot of transferable skills there as well. In the meantime, reading aloud. This is a great opportunity to, I mean, that's really when it comes to voiceovers, you're going to be reading scripts aloud.
Yeah.
And doing what's called a cold read. You've never seen the copy before. You just got to pick it up and read it without mistakes.
Wow. And
so that is, you know, you can kind of practice at any time.
Oh my gosh. That's a, well, I'm going to take that because that just sounds phenomenal. I've never done that.
Yeah.
I've done sight reading and music, but I've never done sight reading and just voiceover. That's
exactly. So that's the term, right? So sight reading. And then, you know, I think once this is all leading to a culminating event, mm-hmm. which is the recording of your voiceover demo. So think of this as like a graphic designer has a portfolio, maybe an accounting professional, maybe has a resume and a degree and a certification. Here for voiceover, you know, the proof is in the pudding. It's actually your voice being recorded into a demo. And you can think of a demo as like your highlight reel.
Yeah.
It's probably 30 to 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. And it's a montage. So let's say you're going to do a commercial demo, mm-hmm. which would be suitable for radio commercials, TV commercials, and these internet videos. So in this 60-second commercial demo, you're going to have American Airlines, Hilton Hotels, Pepsi, you know, 7-Up, and like, you know, probably some monster truck rally or something like it's like boom, 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 all very fast paced, upbeat. And you're trying to give the potential client, often, as I say, an ad agency or a creative producer at a marketing department, a flavor for what you can do for that kind of genre of voiceover. But that demo, you know, you want to have a script that's written. So that's again why you're either working with a coach or a demo producer. Mm-hmm. And you usually want to have at least these three demos. You'll have a commercial demo, an animation or character demo, if that's the kind of work you want to get into, which is like video games and animated cartoons, that kind of thing. And the third one would be narration. So if the commercials are like the sprint, the narration is like the marathon, right? It's like audiobooks and these documentaries.
Yeah.
We've all seen these National Geographic, right? It's a different style. So it, at least having those are going to cover the main three genres of work. And then that's actually what you're marketing. You know, your website or your profile on voices.com is just it's a means to be able to showcase that work. And mm-hmm. So that would be probably the big places to get set up. And then you did ask about kind of the cost to kind of getting set up. It's really amazing. You know, when I, that first studio I described, you know, that I set up.
Back in the days when boards were 64 channels.
Oh my gosh. $15,000, $20,000.
Yes, it was.
You know,
it was insane.
Now, you know, we're recording completely digital. There's kind of a couple parts to it. And it sounds kind of crazy, but the best investment is actually not technology. It's your room.
Yeah.
Now I'm in a home office, but it's a quiet room because that's kind of the dead giveaway of whether you have a professional sound or not. If you can hear kids in the background and barking and vacuums and the rest of it, like, If you have a quiet room where there's no kind of echo or slapback, and one of the ways you can test it out is literally to clap and you'll hear the reflections.
Yep.
So you can get a quiet room where there's no reflections. That's a worthwhile investment. Most computers, like all the Macs, come with GarageBand as a recording software.
Yeah. Yep.
Adobe Audition is like, I think it's like $30 or $50. You know, it's a subscription. There's Audacity is a free software. So there you go, Audacity user. So that's, I mean, once it's recorded into the system, it's just digital. It really isn't going to make any difference. And then finally, a microphone. Sometimes there's what's called an interface, a digital audio interface between what you plug your microphone in and your computer. I'm just using a USB microphone that goes straight into the computer, you as well. So there's ways to start, I would say, all in probably a couple $1,000s, maybe $2,500.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That you can get going with. And a lot of people start there and then upgrade as they get more gigs and just kind of reinvest. And you're like, wow, I've always wanted to have a Neumann microphone. Okay, well, that's $1,000.
Yeah, right.
Probably don't need to start there.
That's the cheaper one.
Right. Exactly. But so I think that's probably like the order of operations. I'd invest in the room and then probably the microphone and then the software.
Now, when he says the room, and I'm going to kind of add on to that because some people are like, well, just, you know, by the way, I've done recordings in the closet. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of sound deadening in there with all the clothing and carpeting and everything. There's no echo. So I've done that before. But if you're going to set up a room, like an actual room, soundproofing, panels, you do them right. For one, you're not on camera, so you really don't have to worry about, you know, the placement. Whisper rooms are nothing but soundproofing, and you get that clear, crisp sound that the microphone will only be getting for you. It's just smarter. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely going to make it easier for a client to tell whether or not you're really the voice they want. Because you can't fake in a quiet room. Your voice is going to be blandly apparent.
Yeah. And there's no processing. There's no special, like, you know, there's the photography on Instagram looks incredible because people are putting filters
and all that,
yep, out skin tones and all that. What we're talking about here with voiceover is what's referred to as a quote unquote dry voice. It means it's just you. And one of the best secrets to actually creating a more intimate sound is actually just to get a few inches closer to the microphone. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to demonstrate this now. And I heard you might do this earlier, is you almost like lean in and you're speaking closer. It means that it's picking up your voice directly as opposed to picking up more of the room.
It's when I want to make a real point. That's when I do this.
Exactly. So even this notion of this like proximity effect of like the closer you are, that can create and kind of capture more of the voice and less of the room.
It was interesting.
These are all things that you'll learn in podcasts and working with coaches as well.
It's taken me, I've learned about proximity years ago on a Shure mic from the Workhorse 58 to a Phantom powered because of the way my voice sounds when I sing. I got a lot of high mids in my voice, as you can probably hear. So it doesn't come across as the guy who does the epic voice, or, you know, I can have some bass, but I really have to like work to get the bass sound because my voice is actually fairly high. I'm like a, in music, it's called tenor. I'm a tenor too, even though it kind of sounds like a baritone. I'm really a tenor too. I wake up in the morning. Some days I sound like a kid. I mean, literally when it was time to go to work as a musician, boy, you want to talk about warm-ups? Holy crap, the whole way. And I had a 20-minute drive. It was all warm-ups. I was singing with everybody on the radio just so when I got on stage, I wasn't sitting there wondering whether or not I was going to make it.
Right. I love that you brought up the warm-ups idea.
That's what I wanted to get into. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. No, we talked about, you know, reading aloud. That's one. Tongue twisters. I've heard of people reading the script with a pen in their mouth. Uh-huh. And it's like, if you can do that and all the words are coming out clearly, then like as soon as you take the pen or pencil out, I mean, it's just going to be so much easier to speak. There are these, I mean, and so it might sound a little gimmicky, but it, you know, I think the key is you're speaking aloud, whether it's a tongue twister, you're literally, you know, doing oohs and ahs and different sounds, like vocal exercises to loosen the jaw and just relax the muscles. So all of that is helpful. No one would go run a marathon or do a sprint without stretching. And it's the same principle that your voice is your instrument. And that's the tool that you're going to be working with. So hydrate well, rest up the night before.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, no screaming. These kind of things are just, you know, it is a little common sense, but, you know, certainly important if you have a big recording to do.
So I'm going to bring up a title of a movie, and we're of the same gen, so I'm fairly sure you'll remember it. Mm-hmm. My Fair Lady. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what she had to go through?
Yeah.
Yeah. She had to practice a ton. I remember one of the more memorable scenes was when somebody accidentally bumped the phonograph.
Right.
And it was a record of sound, vocal sounds, inflections, and vocal style for the wording to get her off the Cockney into an actual proper English.
Yeah.
I don't know why that triggered, but it's like, yeah, if you're not practicing before, and even when I sing, I've had it where I'll sit there for a good 5-10 minutes going through what seems to be relentless malarkey for anybody's purposes. But then when I actually sing, holy crap. Mm-hmm. It's like all of a sudden, there it is. So the suggestion to practice, to warm up, to get the sleep, to get the nutrition, you got to be healthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't be walking into your little studio and saying, I'll get through this. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and you end up taking more time when it comes to doing an audition because you're having to do multiple, what are called takes, right? If you're there and you have a client that's actually giving you some direction, that's actually, you know, so let's fast forward. Mike, you've won the job. Now the client is, they can either do one of two things. They just book you and say, yep, here's the job. It's, you know, $500. You've agreed to it. You're reading a pager to a copy and you just send off the WAV file or MP3 file. Those are just file formats. Or sometimes, especially with those in kind of the creative industry, they want, you know, they've poured their heart into writing this script. And they have a certain creative vision for it. They actually want to provide some artistic direction in real time. And so one of the things that's very popular nowadays are what are called these live directed sessions. In short, that's a fancy way of saying a Zoom, a Google Meet, FaceTime, a Hangout. They're just doing what we're doing here today.
Right.
And so that, you know, can you hit that particular, you know, it's just some interaction, but it's happening live. You're recording on their end, but they're coaching and guiding you, providing that direction. In which case, going back to being healthy, you don't want to be warming up in front of somebody else. You're wasting their time. Mm-hmm. It's just not very professional. So, you know, get all those warm-ups done. So when you, you know, log on to the session and you've got your Audacity or Adobe, you know, recording, that hopefully you can nail that in a few takes.
So there's this thing in voiceovers. Humans versus synthetics. Mm-hmm. And this kind of goes into branding, personal branding, as far as voice actor is concerned. Explain that and what the difference is and how do you figure out which one's best for you?
Mm-hmm. Well, so a human voice actor, the people, like, right? It's a person. I think I use the term kind of like breathing this script to life. They're literally recording it out, every line. It's emotional. You know, they're being that character or communicating that message with a lot of authenticity. Where the synthetic voice are these computerized voices. Mm. They're often generated by an algorithm where someone types out the text and inputs it into the software, and the software turns it from text to speech. So the acronym is TTS, if you guys want to look it up, right? This text-to-speech systems. They sound a lot better than 5 years ago. I think they've got a long way to go. There's a time and a place for them. And I think it's a pretty, frankly, limited use case, which is if you're a brand advertiser, you probably want to, you know, have an actor there. But if you are, let's say, an airline and you're giving, you know, directions in the airline about which gate to be at and which flight numbers are changing, the information is changing all the time.
Right.
Okay. That's probably a situation where, you know, a synthetic kind of voice engine is more appropriate.
Right.
So, you know, I think it kind of comes down to is the content changing? Is it very just really navigational, informational, like a GPS system?
Right.
There's not really a storyline there. There's no characters. That's probably why you would want to use a synthetic voice. Anything else, you know, nothing's going to beat kind of somebody, you know, putting their heart and soul into being that character and communicating with authenticity.
That leads back to just the simple fact that when you're in marketing and sales, no one buys because of logic. people buy because of emotion. And that's marketing's job, is to draw out the emotion. Well, as a voice actor, I would add, it's your job to draw out that emotion so that somebody, you know, takes an action, whatever that is. Come to our website, buy this, do that, what have you. You're right. AI's gotten really good. We actually use it for certain things for the marketing agency. But when it comes to something that's an actual marketing to a sales process, we would rather use a human. We haven't gotten to that part yet. And in a lot of cases, you know, it's been thrown to me. Why don't you do it? And I'm like, mm-mm. I'm not going to do that. We'll find somebody else to do it, because I'm sure that there's a better voice than mine. Now, that's not to say that I'm not confident in doing certain things. It's the industry that we're in. My voice, in my opinion, does not fit. We'll find out here on voices.com soon enough. but I think the intent is you have to be clear as to who it is that you can serve. Who do you match the best? Now, that brings up another question. The four most popular vocal archetypes and their celebrity sound-alikes.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that one.
Well, you know, it's actually a really interesting segue, because a marketer, you know, really, and not to be too, you know, declarative about this, but like really ought to be working with a voice talent who sounds like their target audience. Okay. We all buy from people we know, we like, that we trust. And what we've determined through, you know, a lot of analysis as well as surveys, is that these are voices that we buy from people who sound like us.
Yeah.
Okay. And it could be a certain demographic. It could be and that's why there are these archetypes that someone can kind of identify with.
Right.
And so, you know, classically it was this like deep authoritative voice. So Morgan Freeman, the James Earl Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Or Beyonce, you know, in terms of like a female, a authoritative, strong personality that when we hear them, that we identify that we should be listening to them, right? We either aspire to that person, to be that person. So that's kind of, audiences really respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it often is a bit of a lower tone, because there's just some kind of more gravitas to it. But that would be, you know, one of the vocal archetypes. The other thing that we found is actually the most popular over the last years. And again, we looked at 100,000 jobs on voices.com.
Wow.
And tried to categorize them as best as we could against like who were they looking for and who do they ultimately hire. So we got the deep authoritative, we have the approachable expert. And this is interesting. I kind of refer to this character, you know, it's the George Clooney, you know, Matthew McConaughey, maybe, you know, an Emma Stone or Taylor Swift, somebody who's like, I can see them being my friend.
Yeah.
They often know something that they're sharing this information, kind of like the friendly guy or gal next door, who's, you know, always has the latest technology and device. They seem to be in the know for current events or pop culture. And they're sharing this information with you almost as, it almost seems like as a favor, right? And so they're approachable because even if you ask questions and you're in dialogue, that it doesn't seem like, you know, there's kind of no dumb questions,
right?
You know, that you're comfortable. But that is definitely one. And sometimes, again, in the industry, we just refer to this as like the real person. You know, it's like just pretty straight. You are being yourself. And then the last one that we put together was we just called it fun, foreign, and intrigue. You know, it's the Nicole Kidmans, Hugh Jackman, sorry, Kate Winslet. Maybe it's like, you know, there's this, you know, luxury brand that wants, you know, a Eastern European accent or something, or a British accent. And
what was that guy's name that did the Jaguar, the villain's car?
Yeah. Daniel Craig, I think.
Yep.
Like he's like, you know, the Mission Impossible. Like there's a lot, or sorry, James Bond. Daniel Craig was the James Bond, but there's a lot of these characters that which is actually kind of sometimes how I describe it, is like, imagine you're in like the scene of like a spy movie, and who are these people that are talking? And it draws you in because you feel like you're part of the mystery and you're there to kind of solve it with them.
Yeah.
And there's a certain kind of cachet about that. So that is, we kind of actually merged a few together, and we got it down to these three. And there's actually samples of them on voices.com in our reports section. You can actually kind of go through and listen and hear talent performing these.
Time to start practicing.
Exactly.
All I'm hearing is time to go practice.
Yeah. But I mean, there's, I think those are the big ones that, but especially, and I think it's actually good news, the one that's the most popular is this approachable expert. People just want authenticity, especially now. Mm-hmm. Why you don't want a synthetic, you don't want somebody trying to be somebody they're not.
Mm-hmm.
What marketers want are people who kind of sound like their audience, who are just real and approachable. And I think it's a seems kind of obvious, but at the same time,
you would think
to kind of do it in a relaxed way, this is a certain kind of performance style, is harder than it sounds.
You would think that, we both know that the obvious isn't always such. And it takes somebody like you to be able to actually take a look at that data and go, hey, guess what, guys? Here's where it's at. It's when an entrepreneur takes a look at something and really wants to go digging, and they're living a passion, which is what you're doing, they have a tendency to find out stuff that nobody else pays attention to because they're too busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's for entrepreneurs, that's a kind of a huge advantage in my mind, because you're able to come out as that trusted expert. I mean, you actually have that voice. I remember too, when you were talking about the approachable, and you said Matthew McConaughey, first thing comes to mind, Lincoln.
Yeah.
That whole thing that he did for them.
Yeah.
And it was very relaxed. He was just like, yeah, it is what it is. This is luxury. Yeah. This is what life is about, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude sounds like the dude next door.
Mm-hmm.
As much as he's a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody's got a voice that can play like that, you know, hey, hey, right, then all of a sudden you've got a market that you can go and appeal to.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take one more break, and we're going to wrap this up because we're getting real close to that time. And when we do come back, we'll talk about the other side, the clients, because I'm sure you got that side of it too. We want to make sure that they know what they're looking for and how to look for it and how to process it. So we'll take one more quick break, gang, and we'll be right back. And we're back. We're going to wrap this thing up here. I wanted to talk a little bit about the other side of things with David Cicerelli here on voices.com. We were just talking about voice talents and things they need to consider and the different voice archetypes and things of that nature. That's for the talent. There are clients out there. And as a marketing agency, I have a tendency to find that a lot of them have no idea what they want. And this will go into entrepreneurship talk too, I'm sure. But when you're a potential client looking for a voice talent, what are some of the suggestions you would make to them to be able to zoom in and not get lost? Because 10,000 talent plus, that's a lot of samples to go through. Mm-hmm. So how do you wade through that?
Well, the best place to start, actually, Mike, is first imagining what it might sound like in your head. And that's actually probably the hardest part of voiceover.
Yeah.
Is that the buyer, you know, it could be a small business just looking to update their phone system. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're launching an intro to your own podcast or a Kickstarter video. What, you know, you hear it in your head, but you got to put it into words.
Right.
Because if you can't put it into words, then you don't know how to post a job. You don't know kind of like, you're not really making, again, this term of commitment, like, who is it that I'm actually looking for? And so one way to do that is to, you know, really transfer what is my brand, right? What do I look like visually? And you can probably translate a lot of that to, well, then if this is, you know, if my brand were a person and walked into a room, What's the room? Is it a restaurant? Is it an office?
Right. Yeah.
You know, maybe it's a soccer field or a baseball diamond.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where are they walking into? What are they wearing? What, you know, and you kind of like develop this going back to this like persona, like you almost personify that sound. And then you, so that is, gives you a bit of a visual.
Yeah.
So then once you kind of have that, it really comes down to actually deciding, okay, well, you know, what language do I, am I looking for? Cause we're talking about, you know, a spectrum, world of
yeah.
voice actors.
Yeah,
we got to narrow it down to hopefully find that one.
Yeah.
So the language, the accent.
Mm-hmm.
So am I trying to reach people in, you know, US Midwest? So I kind of want this, you know, it's actually a pretty neutral accent because it's neither South or East.
Probably East the most neutral out of all that we have here in the country.
Absolutely. Chicago, yeah. Minneapolis kind of
yeah.
area.
Yeah.
So this kind of great, we actually call it a Great Lakes, like US mm-hmm. Midwest. Mm-hmm. Great Lakes accent. So then, you know, gender, am I looking for male or female, or am I, you know, really indifferent? Most people probably have a audience they're trying to reach.
Right.
So, you know, if you know that, then you should probably pick the voice of the person who sounds like you're trying to reach. The age range, you know, is it a young adult, 18 to 35? And then here's where it gets interesting. If, what is the role this person is being? Are they a coach?
Right.
Are they a professor? Are they, you know, a teacher, or is it that guy or gal next door, you know, this approachable expert kind of idea. So that's the mm-hmm. role. And then finally the style, the performance. I've got a, you know, short, funny story on this. There was a theme park in Florida
uh-huh.
that was a water park that they wanted their mascot was a pirate. And so they said, oh, you know, we're looking for a pirate and we'll hear the pirate voice. Here's the script.
Right.
You would, I mean, and that's all they described, but you would believe with, and there was no artistic direction. They didn't say, we want you to sound funny or whimsical or imaginative. Mm-hmm. The spectrum of pirates was like shocking. Like,
you know, I bet it was
50 different pirates, but that's because they didn't provide any artistic direction on the style. Is this, you know, witty? Mm-hmm. Is this sarcastic? Is it kind of like that deadpan? Like, you know, it's very dry, you know,
mm-hmm.
or,
mm-hmm.
you know, blunt. These are all voice actors, you know, are kind of like chameleons. They can take this, they can interpret it, and they're going to deliver their best performance. So as a buyer, you know, that client who's looking to hire somebody, having all of this in your mind, putting it down on paper, and then that's in effect what the job posting is on voices.com. So you'd fill out your job posting. We would match that up with talent that have profiles that, you know, say that of like people that are in Chicago, that have this Midwest accent, you know, that kind of match all those criteria, and we mm-hmm. would invite them to audition. So that's, you know, and the hope is, and we actually call that software, it's just an algorithm we've developed, what we call voice match. Basically, what are the needs of the client and who are the talent that can fulfill that request? We match them up. And most times that gives this really this aha, this like, wow, these people sound exactly who I was imagining
right.
in my head. It's right. it's one of those things like, you know it when you hear it.
Right.
Yeah. I go through and actually listen because it's so subjective. I might think somebody's great for a particular brand and someone goes, I wasn't hearing that at all. I wasn't imagining that at all.
Mm.
So that's why the audition is such a critical part. Talent actually reply not only with a sample of your recording, of your script, so you can actually hear them recording, but they'll provide a quote for how much they're willing to do the work for. And it might, you know, there's budget ranges of like 250 to 500. They'll, you know, quote or bid somewhere within that range, and you can go through and hire them right through the platform. So that's a bit of the process, but also kind of what to look for. The more information you can detail up front,
mm-hmm.
just like any job posting, whether you're looking for a marketing assistant or an intern or a mm-hmm. financial bookkeeper,
mm-hmm.
the better you can describe what your needs are, the better the result will be in actually finding a great person to record that project.
Cool. That makes a lot of sense. And thanks for mentioning the idea of what budgeting might need to sound like when they're going into this. Cause I think a lot of people, the challenge on like Fiverr
mm-hmm.
is that a lot of people are doing that kind of as a supplemental gig. It's not necessarily their living. Like the young lady that I hired,
mm-hmm.
while wonderful, she's a musician. Her living's made on music.
Mm-hmm.
That's a side thing for her. If you want somebody who's really dedicated to their craft in voiceover, you need to expect to, you're going to get what you pay for.
For sure. I mean, I actually think it's pretty approachable, which is a reasonable story, which is like, the starting range is $100 to $250.
Yeah, that sounds
probably going to be a couple pages of copy. Most videos, most, podcast intro and outro, probably within that range. The benefit as well as working, I would say with a full-time dedicated talent is that, you can probably go back and rehire them. Maybe 3 months later, they become kind of your brand voice. Maybe I want my phone system recorded. Oh, I got another video I want done.
Yeah.
So you can kind of work with them, or you got changes to the script. You can always go back and rehire them and know that they're there.
Your whole talk about the expansion of networking using voices.com, I just caught it just with what you said. Dude, that's huge. I mean, the amount of, yeah, that's going to be really interesting to watch. In fact, I'd be real interested to see if you guys ever publish trends, like how some of the market research companies do. If you guys ever do something like that, let me know. I'd love to download that. I'd love to see it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Awesome. There's a few of them that we have. As I say, if you go to the footer or the bottom of every page on the website, you'll see a link called reports.
Nice.
And we have an annual trend survey. I wish we could do it more often. It's a pretty heavy lift though for us on top of everything
I'm
else.
Sure it is.
Yeah. Which categories or work are rising and falling? What's the average pay per category? Those archetypes or personas we were describing, that was kind of another output from those trends. Yeah, but the they're there. Just go to reports and you'll find those trends. They're right there for you, Mike.
Sweet. We've come to that moment in time. I hate to say it, but we've hit it. Because I wanted to get into stories. I wanted to get into business strategy. I'm studying Michael Porter right now. I'd love to have you back to come talk more about entrepreneurship and some of the things that you have as far as views on those things.
For sure. I love that whole world as well too. Michael Porter's great.
Yeah.
I've been participating in a executive education program at Harvard Business School. So all those,
I want to hear about that too. Yeah.
Frameworks we'll have to do another coffee chat.
Absolutely. So we'll definitely have you back. That's awesome. Thanks so much for coming and hanging out, brother. I really appreciate your time. This has been
my pleasure, Mike.
Revealing, educating, and like, this is cool shit. I mean, it really is. Where can people find you besides voices.com? Where else can they find you?
Probably the best place is on LinkedIn. You're welcome to search for me and do the connection. And David Cicerelli, type it into LinkedIn. We'll stay connected there. Twitter as well, but probably more LinkedIn. And then get to know a little bit more about each other. But
absolutely.
If I can be a resource to you or anybody listening, just let me know and I'll do my best.
You've already been a huge resource today, brother. I'm sure there's plenty more to learn. So guys, those links will be down in the bottom in the comments. And if you haven't already, if you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe, the bell, hit the bell. That's when you know the new one's on, hit the bell. And then if you're on Anchor or Stitcher, CastBox, anything like that, make sure you download or subscribe. If you see us on Anchor, you can support us. Feel free to make a donation. Every bit helps keeping this little mini podcast alive and moving. And we appreciate and love every single one of you. And that's how we always love to sign off. So stay up, stay healthy, stay safe, and live. From both of us to all of you, ciao for now.
For more information on Java Chat, visit www.javachatpodcast.com. You've been listening to Coffee with Mike on Java Chat. Tune in weekly to this podcast for the next episode. You can also download or subscribe today on your favorite podcast platform. A production of Oasis Media Group, LLC. Located in Las Vegas, Nevada. Copyright 2019. All rights reserved.